The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Cindy Fowler from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from Dave's Garden e-newsletter, the National Gardening Association e-newsletter, and the HGTV's Garden e-newsletter, and maybe from 1001 Hints and Tips for Your Garden by the Reader's Digest. And we'll start with Dave's Garden e-newsletter. Drought-tolerant plants to include in your garden by Laura Foreman. These plants can thrive in even the driest conditions. Hot summer temperatures and reduced rainfall can make any garden look a bit gloomy at this time of year. And since many drought-prone areas have water restrictions in place, watering more isn't always an option. However, there's still a way to maintain a beautiful summer garden. All you have to do is cultivate plants that are sure to survive the seasonal heat and water limitations. Here are a few particularly good varieties to work into your yard, as well as some tips to keep them looking lush all season long. Lantana. With flowers that range from orange and red to pink and purple, lantana is a fiery flower for any garden. Although it can grow to be 8 feet tall and 4 feet wide, there are also more compact varieties available for those gardeners who do not have a lot of space to work with. The lantana may be known for its showy flowers, but it also boasts blue-green, chartreuse, and gold foliage. Salvia. A member of the mint family, salvia features blue and purple flowers and thrives in hot, dry conditions. Growing to about 30 inches tall, salvias, or sages, make for fragrant additions to any garden. Although it grows best in sunny locations with well-drained soil, you may also be able to grow it in partial shade. Encourage it to continue to bloom by removing existing blooms as they fade. Coneflower, also known as echinacea. Coneflower is a colorful flower that resembles the cheerful daisy, attracting butterflies and bees alike. Coneflowers do best in spots with full sun and well-drained soil. They tend to spread quickly and come back again year after year. Lavender, known for its strong fragrance, lavender grows to about 3 feet tall and can thrive in even the poorest soil. Still, you may have to add some compost or other organic matter in to improve drainage if you have clay soil. Cut lavender sprigs after the plant has bloomed to bring its fresh, relaxing fragrance indoors. Agastache. A member of the hyssop family, agastache features tall, blue and purple flower spires and grows well in poor soil. An easy-to-grow plant, agastache thrives in full sun. Although you may need to water the plant more while it's getting established, it should be drought-tolerant and low-maintenance thereafter. Russian sage. This plant grows up to 5 feet tall and is a showstopper in any garden. All it needs is sun. It even does well in poor soil. The best part is that it needs very little watering once it becomes established in your garden. Although it resembles lavender, it has a scent that's all its own. Artemisia. If foliage is your thing, you'll love Artemisia's silvery blue-green leaves, which have been known to form mounds between 3 and 5 feet tall. These tough plants also spread as wide as 10 feet in some cases. Yarrow, a hardy, low-maintenance plant that's a favorite of both bees and butterflies. Yarrow features compacted flower heads with tons of small flowers in shades of yellow, pink, red, and white. It's also extremely fragrant and can be cut for its fresh flowers. Verbena, an ideal accent for containers. Verbena is easy to grow and will only shoot up to about 3 feet in height. The flowers will bloom all season long since the plants consistently produce new flower buds. The colorful verbena is ideal for small gardens and container gardens. Sedum. Every garden needs low-growing ground cover. Sedum grows best in well-drained soil that is average to rich in fertility. It also thrives in full sun and is often easiest to grow from divisions or cuttings. Although they may be finicky while they're growing, they require little care once they've established themselves. By dividing these plants up twice a year, you can prevent them from spreading too much throughout the garden. Tips for planting a drought-tolerant garden. Drought-tolerant plants tend to be relatively low-maintenance, especially once they're established. Of course, low-maintenance does not necessarily mean no maintenance. Apply mulch to help conserve moisture, keep weeds down, and keep the soil a steady temperature. Water occasionally, especially during periods of extreme drought. Although drought-tolerant plants will survive some periods of drought or low water, they may need some supplemental watering during periods of extreme drought, especially if they're not yet established. Use drip irrigation to ensure a more efficient delivery of water. You'll end up using less because less water is wasted through evaporation. Water in the morning or later in the day for best results. Use high-maintenance plants sparingly. There are some plants that are drought-tolerant but high-maintenance. Plant a few of these for effect, but do not rely on them to carry your whole landscape. Grow native plants. Native plants tend to be low-maintenance because they've adapted to thrive in your environment. Whether you have hot temperatures, low water availability, poor soil, etc., these plants are sure to thrive in your garden. Contact your local Master Gardener program to learn more about what plants grow best in your area. Now from the National Gardening Association e-newsletter. Reblooming Irises by Karen Dardick. Bearded iris have come a long way from the simple iris pallida, sometimes fondly called grandma's flags, that were grown in so many gardens 60 or more years ago. One of the least demanding of all plants, iris are undergoing a radical transformation regarding color, flower form, and reblooming abilities. I fell in love with reblooming bearded iris 5 years ago while experimenting with companion plants for my roses. I garden in the benevolent climate of Southern California. I have a modest property, 48 feet by 150 feet, and my dwelling and garage have first claim on the land. So when I sacrifice prized garden space, the plant must be a prolific performer. My bearded iris did not disappoint. A small group of iris fanciers have been tracking the development of bearded iris with reblooming characteristics, also called remontant. Jean Plank, treasurer of the American Iris Society, introduced me to the pleasures of 2.5 to 4-foot tall bearded iris. When I told her I didn't want a plant that blooms for just 2 or 3 weeks a year, she swept away all my objections by educating me about reblooming iris. These extra vigorous plants bloom in spring, often a week or so earlier than standard bearded iris, and the good news is they'll rebloom again in summer and again in fall. In warm, dry climates, some will bloom 4 or 5 times annually. Bearded irises grow from rhizomes by generating on an increase, which produces the next bloom stalk. The central rhizome of any iris can produce only one of these stalks, and they usually take a year to mature and bloom. Rebloomers have an accelerated growth cycle. Their increases mature and bloom within the same calendar year. Gardeners in much of the country can enjoy reblooming iris. According to John Weller, past president of Reblooming Iris Society and an iris hybridizer and judge, up to 200 varieties of tall, bearded, intermediate, and several dwarf bearded varieties will rebloom reliably, with the exception of Florida and the Gulf Coast, where high humidity and rainfall put a damper on remontancy. Joan Roberts is a hybridizer who grows more than 1,000 iris varieties at her Maryland property, where she operates a mail order nursery, Friendship Gardens. She grows bearded reblooming iris and reports she harvests flower stalks as late as November. Iris experts have not been excited about rebloomers until lately because their flower form and coloration were considered inferior to the one-time bloomers. But those same experts are changing their minds as hybridizers create rebloomers that are so good they're even starting to garner a few awards at flower shows. I also enjoy them because they add an element of surprise. Like icing on a cake, many rebloomers have another tantalizing delight. They're fragrant. Some are redolent of an aroma resembling grape juice. Others have a sweet honey scent. These rebloomers are wonderful in floral bouquets where they perfume an entire room. Plant reblooming iris in summer so they can root before winter. They will thrive in almost any location that receives at least 5 hours of sun and has slightly acidic, well-drained soil. Set rhizomes 1 to 2 feet apart at ground level so they are exposed to sunlight. Point the rhizome in the direction you'll want it to grow. If you live where soil freezes, mulch new plantings in winter to prevent soil heaving. East of the Rocky Mountains, iris borers are a common pest. During the growing season, keep the iris bed clean and unmulched to eliminate their breeding areas. Remontant iris have accelerated life cycles. They grow and flower faster than the one-timers, so they need additional fertilizer and water. Avoid high nitrogen fertilizers that encourage vegetative growth. Use a balanced fertilizer, such as 10-10-10, in spring and again in summer. In warm climates, feed 4 times yearly. Water deeply in August and September if rainfall is scarce. After 4 years, clumps will become crowded and need dividing and replanting. At planting time, lift the clump with garden forks. Remove non-productive rhizomes in the center and carefully break apart the clump. Save the large new fans with foliage. You'll have extra to share with friends. The popularity of rebloomers has been limited by their scarcity. Nurseries and garden centers usually have few for sale. The best source is iris growers specializing in rebloomers. They will advise you on which varieties perform best in your area. And now, from HGTV's Garden E-Newsletter, perennials you cannot kill. Discover tough-as-nail perennials you do not need a green thumb to grow. Shasta Daisy. A daisy is a classic, beloved flower, and Shasta Daisy tames the wild part of this beauty to make it a solid garden performer. Choose shorter varieties like Snowcap to prevent flopping and avoid staking. Clip spent blooms to extend the flower show for months. Combines well with Daylily, Rudbeckia, and Catmint. Perry's Blue Siberian Iris. Siberian Iris brings on the color in spring, with flowers lingering about 4 weeks. Sight in full sun to part shade and in various soil types, from dry to boggy to clay. Dry soils result in shorter plants. Let seed heads remain for winter interest. Combines well with Daylily, Shasta Daisy, and roses. Bee Balm. Bee Balm blooms stage floral fireworks in the garden. Blossoms resemble pincushions and beckon many pollinators, including butterflies, hummingbirds, and bees. Flowers best in full sun, but you still get a show in part shade. Combines well with purple coneflower, Shasta Daisy, and Rudbeckia. Ostrich Fern. Feathery leaves fill part to full shade with beautiful green texture. Ostrich ferns do spread aggressively when happy. Use care sighting it near cherished plants. Combines well with hosta, sweet woodruff, or spring wildflowers like trillium or trout lily. Stella d'Oro Daylily. Golden lily-type flowers punctuate a mound of strappy leaves. This is a reblooming daylily, so you can expect blossoms to open all season long. Full sun coaxes the most flowers to form. Combines well with Siberian iris, purple coneflower, and bee balm. Purple coneflower. Purplish pink petals dangle around an orange-brown central spiky cone. Bees, butterflies, and hummingbirds visit these flowers. Cut blossoms for bouquets. Combines well with bee balm, toad lily, Siberian iris, and Russian sage. Gold standard hosta. Broad, oval leaves bring on the color with deep green edges skirting lighter green centers. Leaf centers fade to gold during summer. This hosta tolerates dry soil better than other hostas. Combines well with astilb, sweet woodruff, and ferns. Goldstrom Rudbeckia. This classic bloomer opens bright yellow daisies with dark brown to black centers. Spreads easily, giving you plenty of flowers to enjoy in the garden or vase. Pollinators visit blossoms, followed by birds that come to feast on seeds. Combines well with Siberian iris, catmint, and Shasta Daisy. Toad lily, exotic, orchid-like blooms appear on plants in autumn and continue to open until frost. Plants are sturdy, withstanding full shade and clay soil. Deer leave these bloomers alone. Plants can spread aggressively when happy. Sight them accordingly. Combines well with hosta, astilb, and ostrich fern. Daffodil. Greet spring with the cheery yellow flowers of daffodils. These easy-grow-it bulbs last for years in the garden. Critters leave both bulbs and blooms alone, and clumps spread over time. Look for varieties with pink, orange, and white flowers. Combines well with Lily of the Valley, Siberian iris, and Shasta Daisy. Catmint. Edge your garden with a flounce of gray-green leaves topped with spikes of lavender blooms. The flowers start in spring on this perennial and don't stop until the fall. clip stems midsummer to keep them in bounds. Pollinators love catmint, while deer and rabbits leave it alone. Many varieties are available in different sizes. It combines well with daylily, Shasta daisy, and bee balm. Mint. Bright green leaves packed with minty fragrance and flavor make this perennial herb a welcome refreshment. Gather leaves for culinary use or simply enjoy brushing by them in the garden. Mint can spread aggressively. Take steps to contain this rambling beauty. Explore the many varieties available to find different leaf flavors and colors, along with different plant sizes. Combines well with ostrich fern, bee balm, and daffodils. Goldenrod. Goldenrod explodes in autumn with bright yellow blooms. The floral fireworks attract pollinators aplenty, making this a good choice for wildlife gardens. Plants spread by underground stems simply pull them when they wander beyond their bounds. The variety Fireworks has a tidy size that suits smaller gardens. It combines well with toad lily, catmint, and Siberian iris. Bishop's weed. Variegated green and white leaves create an eye-catching edging to planting beds in full sun to full shade. Lacy white flowers appear above the mound of foliage from late spring to early summer. This plant spreads by underground stems. It's nearly impossible to kill since the smallest piece of root generates a new plant. Combines well with bee balm, rudbeckia, and daffodils. And now, from 1001 Hanson Tips for Your Garden by Reader's Digest, here's some information for you on manure. Raw versus aged. Manure is invaluable as a soil builder and fertilizer, containing the three primary nutrients, nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium. Some raw manure, like that of poultry, is so nitrogen-rich it can burn plants. It may also harbor weed seeds. Let it age at least 6 months for rotted and a year for well-rotted. Where to get it? Ask at local farms, stables, or feedlots. City gardeners can check with a zoo. And don't forget to visit the circus. Animal handlers are often happy to let you haul away manure. Make sure your source has not treated the manure with pesticides or the animals with medicines. Never use manure from pets. Alternatively, buy processed manure in bags at garden shops. Aging manure. Put fresh manure in a pile and water it. Cover with a tarp to prevent nutrients from leaching out when it rains. Turn the pile occasionally to speed decomposition. Heat it up. As manure decays, it releases heat, which kills weed seeds. Measure the temperature at the center of the pile with a soil thermometer. If the reading is below 150 degrees Fahrenheit, add water and a nitrogen source, such as soybean meal, and turn thoroughly into the pile. Control odors. Add wood chips, sawdust, dead leaves, or other high carbon material to aging manure, especially in summer. It will help alleviate the unpleasant smell. Compost starter. Manure is a hard-working compost ingredient, helping to heat up the pile and speed decay. Just add a layer of raw manure to the other materials and turn in. A 3-year rotation. Enrich a third of your vegetable garden with rotted manure. In the first year, use the space for heavy feeders like eggplant, cabbage, peppers, spinach, and squash. The next year, plant it with carrots, tomatoes, green beans, and other vegetables that need slightly less fertile soil. The third year, grow light feeders such as garlic, turnips, onions, and radishes. A potent brew, manure tea is a rich liquid fertilizer that gives plants a quick boost. Put a shovelful of raw manure in a permeable bag made of burlap or pantyhose, tie the top, and steep in a barrel or garbage can of water for a week. If you use it every time you water, dilute it by half. Use full strength to feed plants periodically, taking care not to let it splash on foliage. Nitrogen content. Bird and bat guano are the hottest manures with the highest nitrogen content. Rabbits, poultry, and sheep manures are a bit less hot, while those from cows, pigs, and horses are relatively cold. Now a little info. Moles have their good points, though a nuisance when they disturb seed beds and tunnel through the lawn. Moles help maintain ecological balance in the garden. It is true, unfortunately, that moles eat soil-enriching earthworms, but they also feed on many unwelcome garden visitors, such as beetle grubs, wireworms, cutworms, and other larvae. In addition, the moles' tunneling aids in aerating the soil and in draining damp earth. A greens sampler, a turnip variety developed for its tender greens, is all-top hybrid. For tasty beet greens, grow the heirloom beet Chioga, Chioggia. Collard lovers praise the flavor of Vates, V-A-T-E-S, while experienced kale growers swear by Russian Red, also known as Rugged Jack. For the fastest growing mustard greens, choose Tender Green. While some plants such as boxwood, yew, and periwinkle cannot tolerate exposure to chlorine, many others survive the occasional splash. Use small-leaved specimens so that foliage marred by chlorine spots can be removed without detracting from the overall look or health of the plant. We've run out of time for today's episode of Out in the Garden. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you enjoyed it. I'm Cindy Fowler, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, trianglereadingservice.org. So long until next time. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138.